looked at four of those things, and the first thing was unity in verse number 2. There was a couple of women in the church who were fighting over something, and that can throw off your spiritual stability in a church when two people are fighting within the church. You have to have unity, or else you will not stand like you ought to. You've been moved away from the gospel. The second thing was joy in verse number 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. No matter what's going on in your life, you can find something to be joyful about. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of those different things. The third thing was temperance or moderation. We can be temperate in all things, we can be gentle to all men, and we can be moderate in the way that we live our lives. And I didn't get to this last week, but we'll get to it tonight, because the Lord is at hand. Jesus Christ can come back at any time. There's nothing else that needs to happen. No other prophecy needs to be fulfilled. Jesus Christ can come back at any time. That's another reason why we need to stand fast in the Lord. We need to give up our faith and go messing around with something else. And the last thing in verse number 6 was faith. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer is an expression of our faith. If you have faith in Jesus Christ tonight, or you have faith in God, it's going to be expressed. One of the ways that will be expressed is by your prayer. When troublesome times come and hard times come in your life, the first thing that you ought to do if you have faith in a all-powerful, almighty God is you should go to Him in prayer, because you know that He hears your prayers and He does care. We're not full of care. We're not full of anxiety and worry and all of those different things. We shouldn't be anyway. That'll throw off your spiritual stability. You won't be able to stand fast for the Lord if we're always full of worry and anxiety and those kinds of things. So we should go to the Lord in prayer. Now tonight we're going to look at three other things that can be pillars for us, spiritual pillars for us, so we do not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. The number one thing we'll look at tonight is thankfulness, being thankful. Number 2 is godly thinking, and then number 3 would be obedience. Those are 7 things altogether there that will undergird your faith and strengthen you in your faith so that you will not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for all that you have given to us. Thank you that you've given us songs to sing. Thank you for a Savior. Thank you for a Bible that we can look to and read and study. Thank you for something to worship. Thank you, God, for giving us strength here this evening. I pray that you'd help us as we attempt to worship you, and give me the strength to preach, and give us ears to hear. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if any of you, and of course I haven't, but I don't know if any of you have been to the United Kingdom before. But if you go to the Royal Palace there, you're going to find some guards out front. And they're called the Queen's Guards. That's the name of them. They're like an elite group there that guards the building that houses royalty. And they're called the Queen's Guards. Now, they're dressed awfully funny. You go and look at them, they're not dressed like regular soldiers. They have the tall, furry hats. They're wearing red jackets, and they've got a rifle right here, wearing black pants, and they're standing there. They're at guard. They're not moving. They're not going to flinch. You go up to them, and you try to make them flinch, and they're not going to go like that. They're just going to stand there and look at you is all they're going to do. Try and heckle them a little bit. Now, poke at them a little bit, you know, try and make fun of them or something like that. They're not going to do anything. They're going to stand firm. They're not moving whatsoever. They have strict rules that they have to stand where they're at, or they have to march where they're at. They can't go around. They can't go to McDonald's and get them a breakfast sandwich. They can't do anything like that. As a matter of fact, they're on guard for 2 hours, and they can't even use the bathroom for those 2 hours the whole time that they're on guard. Amen? Amen. That's right. They can't do that. They can't take a break. They're on guard for 2 hours. After they get done for 2 hours, they're off for 4 hours. My point is here this evening, they can't be moved from where they're at. They've got to stand where they're at. They cannot be moved. If they move from where they're at and they go off and they start messing around with somebody else, they start doing something they shouldn't be doing, they're going to lose their job. Now, if you go up and touch them, you know what you're going to get? The point of their rifle, saying, stand back from the Queen's Guards right now. That's what you're going to get. But you can't mess around with those guards. They will not move whatsoever. It doesn't matter if you heckle them. It doesn't matter if you play with them. They're going to stand there. They're not going to blink. They're not going to move. That's the way we ought to be in the Christian life. We should not be moved away and drawn away from every little thing out there, every little teaching out there that comes up. We should stand fast for the truth and stand fast for the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is telling the disciples, not the disciples, but, well, you could say the disciples there in Philippi, the Christians at Philippi. He's saying, stand fast, don't move, don't go away. Same way with Christians here in the 21st century. Only you and I may have it a little bit harder. We face different challenges. We face different obstacles than what they faced. Now, I told you some of the things last week that they faced. They faced persecution. They faced false teachers. They faced disunity within their church. We may face some of those things, but not all of those things. We don't face persecution. We can worship however we want to, basically. You might get kicked off Facebook or Twitter, but that's not really a persecution. But we face different things. There are so many things out there in the United States of America and worldwide that can draw you away from the faith. They didn't face anything like that. And people 50 years ago didn't face anything like that. But here today we do. There are so many things. I mean, there is a flood of information out there about things that you want to know. Anything you want to know about. It doesn't matter. Type it up. You got a smartphone, you can pull it up right now. You want to hear a different opinion about the sermon you're hearing right now? Flip your phone open. You can find out all about it. They couldn't do that at Philippi. But you can here today. There's so many things that can draw you away from the faith. There's a flood of information through the internet. There's opposing views and opinions about anything out there. You want to hear it. All kinds of different religions, creation, evolution, human sexuality, the family. You can find it all on the internet. You can have your mind poisoned for hours on end if you want to. That's what I'm trying to say. They didn't face those kinds of things, but we did. There's a flood of alternative choices out there today. Want to be a Hindu? Go be a Hindu. You want to be a Muslim? Go be a Muslim. You want to go be a Buddhist? Go be a Buddhist. You want to be a Christian? Be a Christian. You want to be a Catholic? Be a Catholic. You want to be a Jehovah's Witness? Be a Jehovah's Witness. They can drive you insane. There's so many things out there. There's so many points of view. There's so many faiths out there. So many quote-unquote faiths. Hey, well, those false religions are from way back there. That's nothing new. But here in the United States of America, man, you can be pulled so many ways and so many different directions that, man, it can just confuse you to no end. You can be whatever you want to be in the United States of America. We have lost our minds in the United States of America. You can be whatever gender you want to be. You can choose whatever sexual identity you want to choose. You can do whatever you want to do here in the United States of America. Do you know what's going to happen to the United States of America? They're going to be led off captive willingly by somebody. Because if you can't tell the difference between a man and a woman here in the United States of America today, you're going to be led away just like a little child. Because children don't know the difference between anything, and that's what's happening to adults here today in the United States. Amen. They don't know the difference between nothing. They're going to lead you away with a little sucker. They're going to make you captive because you don't know the difference, and I don't know the difference in the United States of America. That's shameful, shameful. But I want to encourage you here today to stand fast for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. It doesn't matter what's out there in this society. It doesn't matter what's going on in this society. We should stand fast for the truth, for the faith of the gospel. There is an ultimate standard of right and wrong, truth and error. There is. And it comes from our Creator. Our Creator gave us those things. Where do you think that you got your conscience from? You got it from God. God gave you your conscience. How do you know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil? It came from God. He gave it to you. God gave us everything that we need to know. Man, he sent his only begotten Son, the truth in person, to come down here and to live amongst us. He gave us the Holy Scriptures so we could know the difference between right and wrong. So we could know that there's a God. So we could know all about him. That's why we ought to stand for the truth. That's why we ought to stand for what we believe in and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. He gave us the Holy Spirit, and it teaches us and it leads us and it guides us into all truth. Man, don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel, just like Paul said. Amen. There are several different pillars that Paul gives us here that shows us to stand fast in the faith. Man, the first thing is thankfulness. And that's the first thing that's going to lead you into apostasy, is not being thankful to God. Amen. The very first thing, man, you think, oh, it's such a little thing. Did you know that that is the biggest transgression of mankind? Yeah. Is not being thankful to God and not acknowledging Him in everything. Amen. That's the first thing you're going to do, is not be thankful to God. Amen. That's what they did in Romans chapter number 1. Mm-hmm. Neither were thankful, he says, Amen. In the first thing. In the first few verses there of Romans chapter number 1. But Paul says in verse number 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, oh yeah, with thanksgiving. Don't forget that, with thanksgiving. When you go to God in prayer, and man, times are tough, and things are hard in your life, and things are going wrong in your life, and you think, man, where is God at? Why are these things happening? You go to God with thanksgiving in your heart, no matter what. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When we pray and we bring requests to God, we bring it with a thankful heart. Did you know Paul was a thankful man? Amen. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He said about the Philippian believers at the beginning of this letter, he says, I thank God for you every day. Yeah. Every time that I think of you, I thank God for you. Amen. He was a thankful man. But if you don't have a thankful heart here this evening, that's the first step for you to go into apostasy and to forget about God and to start being your own God. And it can happen to anybody, no matter what. You and I have to have a thankful heart when we go to God. We must be thankful in everything. What are some of the symptoms of not being thankful? You know, one of those things is complaining all the time. He just cannot be happy about anything, always complaining. It doesn't matter if they gave you a gold highway to drive down your car on me or sign something to complain about. Amen. Man alive, you can get the best meal in town, man. It's so good it'd make you scream, and you're still going to find something to complain about. And I'm still going to find something to complain about. Hey, I'm a world-class complainer. I'm pointing right back at me. That's one of the symptoms of not being thankful. Is being a complainer and griping. You're never satisfied. How about being moody all the time? Man, shifting moodiness all the time. And your mood shifts all the time. Why? Because things just ain't going my way, and I'm not thankful about it. And so, man, I'm just going to get mad and upset, and I'm going to shift my mood around. How about always tending to think negatively and pessimistic all the time? That's a symptom of not being thankful. How about an unforgiving spirit? Man, you're going to hold a grudge against somebody. You know what the root cause of that is? Not being thankful. Not being thankful. We must have a thankful spirit, because unthankfulness will lead us away from God just like that. Turn over to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. We'll look at verse number 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Paul is talking about the history of the Gentiles here and what happened to them in the Old Testament. He says in Romans chapter 1, verse number 21, and this is the beginning of their apostasy. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Right there, little bitty thing like that. They refused to glorify God, and they refused to thank Him, and guess what happened to them? Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What did they start doing? They started thinking about, hey, I think I'm going to create a God of my own liking, the way I like God. I like my God this way instead of that way. I'm going to start. I'm going to start imagining God my own way. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. What they started doing, they started making themselves images and idols and they started bowing down to it. They said, hey, we don't like the way that God is. We don't like His rules and His regulations. We don't like the way that God made us. And so therefore, we're going to make a God that we like, the way that we want Him to be. And we're going to carve out our own image and start bowing down to Him. You talk about apostasy. That's apostasy. That's not standing for the faith whatsoever right there. They don't like the way that God is. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. What happened? Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. What did they do? They got into sexual deviation. God said, I'm going to let you do what you want to do. Go ahead. If that's what you want to do, you don't want to acknowledge me as God. You don't want to be thankful to me. I'm going to take my hand away from you. I'll let you do whatever you want to do. Did you know that is all God has to do is take His restraining hand off of us and we will destroy ourselves like that? That's what they did here in this chapter. Let's read on. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. They started worshiping people instead of God. Does that sound like America here today? Yeah, it does. For this God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Did you notice verse 26? God gave them up unto vile affections. He said, okay, go ahead. That's what you want to do. Have at it. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They don't want to think about God. They don't want to think about the way that He is. They don't want to think about how He made them. They don't want to think about Him as the supreme ruler of the world. No, they don't want to do that. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Boy, that's a bad state right there. They started out believing in God. They started out worshiping God. And then they decided one day they're not going to be thankful to God anymore. They're not going to glorify God anymore. And so they went down, 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 down as far as they can go. That's how bad unthankfulness is. That's how it all starts. We should acknowledge God and thank God in everything. Everything. What if it's bad? Thank God anyway. Thank Him anyway. God is in control. Let's go back over to Philippians chapter 4. So the first thing we need to notice is that we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. What are we saying when we are unthankful? We are saying that God doesn't exist and He is not in control is what we're saying. We're saying that God does not know about my situation. God does not know about my problems and my situation in life. That's basically what we're saying. We're also saying that God is disconnected and He's out of touch with me and He doesn't know what's going on. That's a pretty puny God right there. That's a pretty puny God. God knows everything. He knows what's going on and He can help you in any situation that you're in. And He will help you in any situation that you're in. Now, what do you do if you find yourself in this situation where you're not thankful anymore? You don't acknowledge God the way that you used to. You don't acknowledge God like you ought to. What do? You need to change your way of thinking, bud. I need to change my way of thinking. That's what he says there in those next few verses. He says in verse number 8, he says, and finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any of your virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Man, he says, you need to change your way of thinking. You know why? Because ungodly thinking will throw you off of your Christian walk. That's where it all starts right there, is with the way that you and I think. You start having unclean thoughts and bad thoughts in your mind, things that you shouldn't be thinking about. You know what's going to happen? Those things are going to turn into actions one of these days. You let those things fester in your mind and you think about those things and pretty soon it turns into character, and pretty soon those turns into actions, and then you're in a big old huge mess because you've been thinking the wrong things simply because of thoughts. Solomon said in Proverbs 23:7, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Beware of what you feed your mind." There's all kinds of things out there that you can feed your mind with that's going to destroy your mind and eventually destroy your life. If you continually feed your mind with ungodly things out there, ungodliness is going to bubble up to the surface and then it's going to come out in your life. So you must think on godly things and feed your mind with godly things. What did Paul say in Romans chapter number 2? Be renewed in your mind. Have a renewed mind. Mind's a terrible thing to waste. Several people do it. A lot of people do it. They don't care what they put in their mind. They don't care what they watch on television. They could care less. And it's destroying them from the inside out. What we think about is what we become and what we do. Every serial killer out there started thinking bad thoughts. Amen. That's where it all started. We just had a huge shooting over there in Parkland, Florida. You know what happened with that kid? He was affected probably from the outside of his domain somewhere, searching around on the internet, watching videos and those kinds of things, and then he started thinking about it. And then those things festered, and then they came out, and then he did it. What you feed your mind is very important, because that is what you become. That is what you become. Every one of those serial killers started with some kind of thinking. Every serial adulterer meditated on the act before he or she did it. Amen. You destroyed your family because of something that you did. Yeah. And you thought about it first. Amen. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5, 27 and 28, "You have heard that it is said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Where did it start? It started on the inside. Amen. Started in the heart. Started in the mind. You have to watch out what you're thinking about and what I think about. What do you feed your mind? Is it anything godly? Is it full of secular humanism? Is it full of God? How about the music that you listen to? That's something that you feed your mind. Is it godly music? Does it exalt God? Does it glorify God? Or does it bring out the flesh in you? Does it tempt your flesh? We must guard our thoughts and our mind. We must think the way that Christ thinks and have His attitude. That's why Paul told the Philippian believers in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Amen. You got to guard your thoughts. Think the way that Christ thinks. Would Jesus Christ do this? Amen. Jesus will help you through anything. He'll help you. It is important what we feed our minds. He says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, good report, does it bring praise to God? Those are things that we should think on. Not a bunch of negative things that are going to ruin your mind. Hey, these are all great and positive things. True, honest, just, man, they're great things that we should all think on. You're not going to get in trouble for thinking those things. None whatsoever. You can think about them all day long. Fill your mind with those things. So we feed our mind with the Word of God, and we feed our mind with things that will bring honor and glory to Him. Got to watch the books that we read. Hey, you have the pure Word of God right here. We can read that and fill up our minds with those things. We can memorize and we can soak in the Word of God, and it will change our lives. It will feed us. It will give us sustenance for the spiritual life. It will help us. So we must feed our mind. Meditate on the love of God and the promises of God and the power of God. Because negative things will destabilize your walk with God. We must think godly things. The last thing we must do is we must have obedience. We must have obedience. He says in verse number 9, "Those things which ye have both learned and heard, both learned, received, and heard, and seen in me, do." He said, hey, don't just think about it. You got to do it too. You got to have obedience as well. Because if you're not an obedient Christian and I'm not an obedient Christian, guess what? You're not going to be a stable Christian. You're going to be a wishy-washy Christian. You're not going to be stabilized. You're not going to stand for the faith of the Word of God if you're not doing what the Word of God has to say. You know what you are? If you don't do what the Word of God has to say, you're self-deceived if you don't do what the Word of God has to say, as it says in James chapter number 2. But Paul said, hey man, follow me. Do the things that I have been teaching you to do. What had Paul been teaching them to do? Paul had been teaching them to go out and to witness to others. Paul had been teaching them to disciple others. Paul had been teaching them to live a godly life. And he said, hey, the things that you have seen me do, do those things as well. You and I must do the same thing. We must be obedient Christians to the Word of God. We are deceiving ourselves if we're only hearers of the Word of God and not doers. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 22, he said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There's many Christians out there that are deceived and they're deceiving themselves. We can have all the knowledge and all the information in the world. We can have a head full of knowledge. We can win every Bible trivia game there is out there, and we can still be self-deceived if we don't apply the Word of God to our lives. I once read a story about a mailing room in the University of California at Berkeley. They had a bunch of pamphlets in there called Control of Termites. Much of little pamphlets in there to tell you how to control termites. I guess they had a termite problem in the building itself because all the termites had eaten through all those pamphlets. Now you would think a building that knew how to control termites wouldn't have a termite problem, would you? But they did. You know what the problem was at Berkeley? They had all the information on the inside of their building, anything they knew about how to control termites, but they weren't applying that information. And what happened? They had a termite problem. Christians can have all the Bible knowledge they want to. We can know all about it. But if we don't apply it to our lives, we're going to get eaten up from the inside out. We're going to crumble one of these days. Jesus Christ himself said in John 13:7, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. We must be obedient Christians. Obey the Word of God. So obedience is the key to stability, and it's not an option. We don't have an option to obey the Word of God. It's not a choice. We must obey the Word of God. So why should we stand fast? I've given you 7 things here about how to stand fast, things that will undergird your faith, things that will strengthen you and help you. Why must we stand fast in the Lord? Number one, because Jesus Christ is coming back very soon. He could come back tonight. It says in verse number 5, the Lord is at hand. Paul said, hey, the Lord is just right here. He's ready to come back. Did you know that's the same thing that is true today in 2018? The Lord is at hand. We don't want to be flip-flopping around and not doing things for the Lord that we shouldn't be doing, because the Lord can come back. I want Him to come back, and I want to be serving the Lord. I want to be serving Him all the way up until the day that I die or He comes back, one or the other. Amen. The Lord is at hand. Number two reason why we should stand fast for the Lord is because we want the peace of God to rule in our hearts. I don't want to have anxiety and worry on the inside of my heart. I want to have peace in my heart. He says in verse number 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's a good testimony for a Christian right there. Hey, things can be going bad around you in this world. Things can be crumbling around you in this world, but you can still have peace in your hearts, and I can still have peace in my hearts. I can still be a stable Christian and stable individual, even though bad things are happening. Number three, it might seem like a daunting task. It might seem like it's hard. The Christian life. It's not the easiest thing in the world to live. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but you're not alone. We're not doing this all alone. We're not just here working and serving, doing this under our own strength. He says in verse number 9, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Hey, God's there to help you and strengthen you to serve Him and to live a godly life. It's not easy to live a godly life, but you have help. You have God there living on the inside of you, and He will help you. No matter what the temptation is, no matter what the struggle is, it does not matter what it is. God will be there to help you. We just need to rely on Him and trust in Him. That's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,